Kia ora koutou katoa and welcome to Well with Anahila, the Labour List MP based in Papakura in Tamaki. Well, happy 2020. Well, it's 2020. Wow. 2020. Welcome to my first session in 2020. And I hope you've had a great holiday. The weather has definitely been great. I'm well rested and I think it's really time now to hit the road. I've got a special guest today. We've had a conversation before, but I'll reintroduce her to you. Again, it's Dr. Ona McGinn. As you know, I've spoken with Dr. Ona McGinn last year. She's worked as a GP for 20 years and moved to New Zealand in 2020. I'm sorry, I've got 2020 on the mind. She moved to New Zealand from the UK in 2010. She holds a special interest in women's health. She's worked in East Auckland. She's the clinical director of primary care for women's health at Auckland District Health Board. And, gives her a great insight into our conversation today. So, Ona, is it okay if I call you Ona?
Or absolutely, Dr. McGinn. Anahila.
All right. Okay, Ona, welcome to Well with Anahila. How are you?
I'm very well. Malo elele.
Yeah, malo elele. Yes. Yeah, and how was your break?
It was lovely. Yes, I did. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was beautiful, gorgeous weather, and I'm also well rested.
Yeah. No, it's just great. I think the message when they asked me, I was on the Tongan language program, they asked me, what is the message for 2020? And what I said was that, oh, well, we've got to look after ourselves because we only have the one life. And so it usually doesn't hit us until someone close to us is going through health concerns or, have personal experience. So let's just recap. Last year we had a conversation about the Mirena IUD and your petition to Parliament, and unfortunately I wasn't there when you came to Parliament because I was at another select committee, but tell us about that.
That was a really interesting experience, and I'm glad to say it was a successful petition in the end. And the Mirena was fully funded from the 1st of November.
Yes.
So this means that any woman in New Zealand can now access this device, which, as we talked about last year, is one of the best available forms of contraception available. And it is also a very good treatment for heavy periods or painful periods. So it's really a very good news for women that this is fully funded. And certainly in my own practice in East Auckland, we've barely been able to keep up with the demand, and we've cleared out all the local pharmacies.
Oh, right.
And this is what I've been hearing actually from GPs all around the country, and I'm just waiting to hear the 3-month sales figures to see what has happened. But I do know that the funding has had an enormous impact. For instance, family planning in Auckland at the moment now has a wait of between 7 and 8 weeks, and a lot of that is driven by the fact that women are now asking to have Mirena for their contraception. Mirena.
Yeah. So let's just, some of the people that I met, I went to the hairdressers yesterday and I spoke to one woman there, and she said she doesn't know what an IUD is and what's Mirena. I was like, how do you pronounce it? Mirena.
Mirena, yes.
Mirena. She doesn't know what it is. So I wonder if we could do that and...
Absolutely. And actually, this is one of the things that I find that it's very difficult for women to get good information on contraception.
Yes.
So with a team at Auckland District Health Board, where I have a part-time women's health job, we are working on getting some really good information out, which is easily accessible on the internet. So what Mirena is an IUD, an intrauterine device. So it's a little T-shaped plastic device which sits inside the uterus, and it's introduced through the cervix via a very small little straw, and then it opens up like an umbrella and sits inside the womb, the uterus, for up to 5 years. You don't know it's there. You can't feel it. Your partner doesn't know it's there, but it's working away by releasing a little bit of hormone, progesterone, into the lining of the womb to make that womb lining very thin. So your periods, therefore, become very light, or in many cases, they stop altogether. And because the womb lining is very thin, and it also stops you releasing an egg a lot of the time, or ovulating, it's incredibly difficult to get pregnant. The failure rate is about 1 in 1,000 compared to about 90 in 1,000 for the pill.
Okay, so it's quite
very effective. Yeah, and you don't have to remember to take something every day, which is one of the reasons why failure rate is so low.
Those women who have heavy periods, yes, everybody, we're talking about the menstrual cycle today, they really have a lot of stress about it. They have the normal daily stress, but then they've got that stress, and it usually lasts for over a week.
Yeah.
So this would be great to introduce this to women who don't know. So if I didn't know, I like the conversation I had at the hairdressers yesterday. I know my hair doesn't look like I go to the hairdressers, but, you know. She said, does she just ask a doctor?
Yeah, so yeah. I would say go in and have a chat with your GP or your practice nurse, and you can look online. Family Planning has some good information. And I suppose the other thing I would say is, if you do have heavy periods, please don't assume it's normal, because one of the things we talked about, Anna Healer, when I was last here, is New Zealand having a very high and increasing rate of endometrial cancer, which is cancer in the womb. And often the only sign of this can be periods that are very heavy. And it's a real shame that women, maybe because they're embarrassed or they think it's normal and they should just put up with it, they often don't go and seek help. And we have seen cases in Auckland of endometrial cancer in women in their 20s.
How do you say that word? How do you spell it?
So endometrial cancer.
It's cancer in the womb.
Yeah, and I would definitely encourage women who've got heavy periods not to suffer in silence. Even if there's nothing serious wrong, you may well be anemic, and that will make you feel terribly tired, and then it's harder to do your work and look after your family. So there are lots of effective treatments out there, and now one of them is completely funded. The only other problem is that the fitting of the Myrina is not always funded. So that's probably another thing that may come in the future, certainly hoping that it will.
Yeah.
We are working hard in Auckland to try and make all this more accessible for women. So Auckland District Health Board has just set up 3 free community contraception clinics, which might be good for women to know about. One in Glen Innes, one in Larne Avenue, and one which will be starting in a few weeks in Three Kings.
So this is, what sort of clinic is this again, Orna?
So these are free community contraception clinics, which are staffed by a very experienced nurse practitioner, and one of them will be staffed by me. And we are hoping to be able to offer more women free contraception advice, and also training to other practitioners, because, you know, one of the reasons it's hard for women to access good forms of contraception is there's no training for doctors and nurses at the moment. So it's a vicious cycle.
When are you in Glen Innes?
Glen Innes, we have a clinic there every Thursday, all day, 9 till 3:30 in Glen Innes Town Centre. Larne Avenue starts next week, and that is all day Wednesday. And Three Kings is TBA in March.
Okay, all right. So all day Wednesday and Thursday is 9 to 3:30.
Yeah, the Larne Avenue one will be open till 6 o'clock, because we want to make it easy for women who are working or have got children and need someone to mind them.
On Wednesday. Right, I might pop by if I'm in Auckland during those times just to see how it's going.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
That's great for people, for women to know that you're there for a day to give some free advice.
Yep.
You know, because my conversation with the woman yesterday started off with this very young woman, you know, she was in her 40s, had passed away. Like, she went to the doctors, and the doctor said, you have cancer in the womb, so I think it's probably this, and doesn't have long to live, and then she passed away. And I said, do you know what type of cancer it is? She goes, oh, no, I just know it's cancer. But she was just so young to have passed away. And we talked about the importance of having a check. Yeah, people, women looking after themselves. And also, you know, when you're talking with a group of women, other women came along and said, oh, they're a bit scared going to the doctor if they're for a smear or, and the encouragement. If you've got a free clinic, then maybe they can come and just have a conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And those of us who work there, we work there because we feel really passionately about women's health and making it free and accessible to people. Mm. It's what we love doing. We do it all the time. Mm. We really understand that it's sometimes difficult for women because they feel embarrassed, and this is something that is very private, and some of them may find it hard to talk about it. But I suppose I'd like to say that we're there to try and make it easier. But you're absolutely right. Looking after yourself is paramount, because if you don't look after yourself, you can't look after your family.
Definitely.
And so take all the free checks that are offered, the free cervical screening, the free mammograms. It's a really good idea to get them done.
No, that's great. So let's just, I think we just skipped over it, but let's just talk about the journey of your petition.
Yeah,
because that's what you said. It was a successful petition. So previously, Mirena wasn't funded.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It had been available in New Zealand for about 20 years, and was available at cost. So the cost was about $450 or $500 plus a fitting fee, which obviously is really out of reach of most women.
Yeah,
unless you were profoundly anemic with a very, very low iron. So there were a lot of hurdles and a lot of barriers, and the cost was the main one when we surveyed patients and their doctors. And I took some advice from agencies like the Child Poverty Action Group as to how to make an impact about getting the funding. And they really were the group that suggested that a petition may work because then you could bring it to the Health Select Committee and actually put forward the evidence. Mm. So with a group of colleagues, I wrote the evidence down showing that the Mirena is a really good effective treatment, and it's also cost effective because if you are preventing women, well, number one, women with heavy periods having to take time off work every month, you're also preventing unplanned pregnancy, and you may be going some way to preventing endometrial cancer.
Yes.
So all of this is cost effective. So we wrote all this down, and the petition gathered about 5,000 signatures very quickly. Because a lot of medical practitioners, nursing staff, as well as the public, had felt quite strongly about it, that it was overdue. And on the strength of that, I was asked to come and present to the Health Select Committee. Mm. That was a really interesting experience, going down to Parliament. And the MPs on the committee did their best to make myself and my colleague, Leslie McCowan, feel very welcome.
Mm.
And they asked some very good questions indicating that they had read all the information that we provided, and that was it. And then really, very shortly after that, we heard that Pharmac were looking at funding the Mirena, and from the 1st of November, there we were. And by then, we already had a huge number of women lined up waiting to have the fitting.
Yeah, no, that's great.
So it's good news.
Yeah, so it's good news. So as you know, everybody, that if you've got a good idea and you want law change, if it's not working for you, then you could suggest it to Parliament. And that's what Orna did through a petition. Yeah, and the Health Select Committee heard you, and obviously the Minister heard you, and Pharmac heard you, and it's fully funded, well, almost fully funded. We just got to get that next step, but at least $450 is funded.
Yeah, so that's a really good start, and I think there's a long way to go as far as women's health is concerned in New Zealand, but I think it has gone further up the agenda now, and I think there's more people thinking about it, particularly thinking about free contraception in general.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of hurdles out there for women to have to jump over to get free contraception. And it's one of those very basic public health needs, I think, like immunization or clean water. You know, if you make it available to everybody and it just becomes best practice rather than something that's difficult.
Yeah. I think once you have women at the decision-making table, and those things become who are normal, well, not normal to women, become normal.
Yeah.
I think that's right. So, right, and we also spoke about Pacific women. You see your clinic out in East Auckland, over 70% of the women are Pacific.
That was in the contraception clinic I was running down in Mangere as well. So the nice thing about working in that clinic is, as well as doing the contraception, we were able to address some of the other issues that come up, because it's not always easy for women to get to the doctor. There's various barriers. Transport can be a barrier, or cost can be a barrier. And if you've got small children, you know, you're very, very busy. So we did our best to address other things. And one of the things I would always talk about to women was diabetes, because that's another big issue in the Pacific community. And we know that probably there are far more diabetics out there who don't know they've got diabetes than there are who have diabetes. So I would always say to the ladies, is there any diabetes in your family? And at least half of them would say, oh yeah, maybe my mum, my sister. And I would suggest having a screen, or we would arrange for them to have a simple screen, just a blood test or a urine test. So that's another thing I'd probably encourage women to do. Don't wait until you're ill.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, why not go along, like you'd bring your car for a woof, go and have a woof.
That's right.
Go along to the to the doctor, get the doctor to do your weight and height, so you know what your body mass index is, your BMI. Talk about your cervical screening, because, you know, we can't find out if there's something wrong if you've had a test. And check if you've got diabetes, because diabetes is preventable and treatable. So, and you can prevent all the complications with your kidneys and your eyes if you get treated early and begin to maybe eat a little bit more healthily and do a bit of walking. So I think it's a good idea to get a check before you.
Yeah, once a year, have your health check. I went for mine and everything seems normal, other than slightly heavier side. But yeah, everything was normal. I went for my mammogram every 2 years, had that. So it didn't take long, just sitting around and gone and done it and came out and was like, all done. Yep, I can do that.
Yeah
so I'd encourage, I'd add my voice to that as well. Women, husbands, partners.
Let's not forget the men.
Yeah, partners. It's also part of your job as well, is to make sure that you get your warrant of fitness and in wife or your partner or women in your family, encourage them to have that, because if anything like my family, most of the women are quite the ones who have a big role to play in the family. I find another way of saying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why,
everything,
the ladies have to keep themselves well. Yeah. It's like, you know, you put your oxygen mask on first in the plane, don't you?
Yep.
So you can look after the little ones.
Yeah.
And along those lines, I suppose the other thing I'd say is for women who are thinking about a pregnancy, that's another good reason to go to the GP first, just to have a check and make sure that you're well. Because it's good to know that you are fully immunized before you're pregnant, and that you're not diabetic before you're pregnant, and that you're in the best possible shape to carry a healthy baby. Because we've had this big measles outbreak, which has caused some devastating issues. And if women don't find that they're not immunized before they're pregnant, you can't immunize them when they're pregnant. So it's another really good reason to go to the doctor and just get a check.
Yeah.
Make sure you're 100% fit to carry that precious baby.
All right, ladies, thank you. Una, ladies, Glenelg Town Centre, Thursday, 9 a.m. to 3:30. Take someone along. Take someone along to say hello. Have a chat about things. It's 10 minutes of conversation could save your life, really. And Lanab, it's a Wednesday. Go along and see Orna and her team. They'll be at Lanab. At Lanab, it's this highly advertised, the clinic. So if I just happen to be at the Glenelg Town Centre, I can see it clearly.
There's a big big banner outside the clinic in the middle of Glenelg Town Centre, and the Lun Avenue Clinic is at the White Cross A&M on Lun Avenue.
Yeah.
starting next week.
Yeah, if you know someone who's always talked about having heavy periods, take them along. Have a conversation. Yeah. Right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to talk about today?
No, I think just look after yourselves, ladies.
Yeah.
We're the ones looking after everybody else.
It's really interesting, the conversation that you had. You had an area that you're passionate about. Women's health, and speaking to other professionals, they advise you to take it to the Health Select Committee, make a petition, and you've done that. Travel to Wellington, spoke to members of Parliament, and then things behind the wheels just keep turning, and then before you know it, the Marina is funded, $450, saving women $450, family planning 7 to 8 weeks wait list, and all this is happening. And my question is, just to add to a conversation, is have you heard from women who have had the Marina?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What are they saying?
Really very positive. About 95% of women who have it are happy, very happy, when they are questioned at a year. And that's the highest satisfaction rate for any form of contraception, and probably for most forms of medicine, actually, or things that we prescribe as doctors. They, particularly for the women who've had heavy periods and anemia for years and, you know, low iron, they just say it changes their life.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So there's not many things that we do in the medical profession that really can make such a difference. And that's why I feel so strongly about it, because really we're all in the job just to try and make people feel better.
Yeah. And I think too, we don't see as many as you do. Like for myself, it would be just me and the women close to me that share their story with me. But on a daily basis, you see the women come, with their stories and what healing that needs to be done. And
yes, and how difficult it's been for them, you know, not being able to work, having to take time off work. It's nice that we can do something about it.
Yeah, no, that's great. Wow. I think that's all about the Marina. I've got the virus on my head because it's currently, we've got the outbreak in China.
Yes, the coronavirus. A touch wood. There's nothing so far in New Zealand, but I think it's, you know, we're well prepared in primary care. We've had good advice from the Ministry of Health.
Yeah.
And if it does hit our shores, we will know what to do.
That's one good thing. I saw how the Ministry of Health responded to the case in Rotorua. Yeah, that was well done. It wasn't the virus, but the way that they responded and helped the people. I think 4 people had turned up the hospital thinking that they had it. Yeah, no, that's really secure in the fact that our system can respond quickly.
Because understandably, people are worried. And I have already, you know, seen a lot of young mothers, for instance, bringing in their children with runny noses, which often you just see at this time of year, and asking about the coronavirus. So it's important that we get the message out that you're not at risk unless really you've been in contact with someone who's come back from China recently. But as I say, we're well prepared, and we are putting up notices in all the GP practices that we've had from the Ministry of Health. So hopefully we will see how this goes.
Yeah, I think the message there is the factual news is the District Health Board, the Ministry of Health's, Health's website, not your friend's Facebook posts.
I completely agree, yes.
So if you're ever in doubt about any Facebook post or any social media information that you received about any outbreak health-wise, just go along to the Ministry of Health website. That's the factual information.
Absolutely. And the same goes for vaccinations, because that has been a big issue the last couple of years with lower rates of vaccinations. And then we do see these outbreaks of mumps and whooping cough and measles, which are all preventable and are terribly unpleasant when young children get them. So we are absolutely proud of our vaccination rates in primary care. We do want to keep them up and encourage people to come and not be worried, because we give very good unbiased information, which is factually based, and I understand people being worried, but a lot of the news that's out there on Facebook obviously is unhelpful.
Yeah, it's
not true.
Really unhelpful. But I one of the conversations I had with people throughout the measles outbreak was that they thought, oh, I thought we've sorted that out. They said, oh, I thought we've eradicated the measles. That's no longer a problem. I thought that everybody has their shots and it's just all sorted. And I said, not really. If you don't go and get your vaccination, then you're not sorted. Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's up to us really as medical people to get the message out there, because we can't expect people to know this unless we get it out there in a language that people can understand. But the reason we have to keep vaccinating, and babies get vaccinated as they're born, is because there's always a little bit of these viruses circulating in the community, and no vaccine is 100% effective either, which is why you can't rely on what they call herd immunity, you know, relying on everyone around you being vaccinated.
Yes.
So it's very important that people keep those up. I saw a whole family who all had whooping cough last year, the mother and her three children, and the baby was only 3 months old, and they had a terrible few months, and it had been because she was actually just very worried about vaccinating the children. So I understand that. And flu vaccine, that's important as well, particularly if you're pregnant, to make sure that you get a flu jab, because it's, if you do get flu when you're pregnant, it can be a lot more serious. And again, last year I had a lady who was pregnant who hadn't had a flu vaccine, unfortunately developed flu and had to go to the intensive care unit. Luckily she and her baby were well in the end, but you know, gave us all a bit of a fright.
For our last 2 minutes of our conversation today, what would you say to people who say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, with the especially with the flu vaccination?
Well, like all vaccinations, the flu vaccine is not going to prevent flu 100%, because they have to develop a new one every year, because the virus changes and mutates
every
year.
So that's what's important that people need to know. The flu changes every year. It doesn't just stay the same.
That's exactly right. So the virus is really clever. It changes the way it looks. So the new vaccine has to be developed every year, and it becomes a best guess, because you're trying to predict what the flu is going to be doing. So the the rate at which it prevents flu is probably only about 80%. But that's still a lot better than nothing. If you, particularly if you have another medical issue like diabetes or a kidney problem. So, yes, and the vaccine is free for anyone who has those problems. So, it's a really good idea when the flu vaccines come in to go and get them done at your practice.
Oh, thank you, Wanna.
No,
so, you know, when the word says free, our conversation probably gave people an indication of how things become free. So in your case with the Morena, you had petitioned Parliament to get that to be free. So that's funded by the Health Ministry, by Pharmac, and then it's free. So all the things that are free had to be fought for. So they weren't just handed to people on that it was free. A lot of people had to fight for those things. So I really, like yourself, I really encourage everyone out there, all our many listeners, hopefully there are many, to vaccinate. To have your flu jab. Have your annual warrant of fitness. Get it sorted. Just ask a doctor. What I did was that my doctor rang me, the nurse, and said, oh, you're due for your annual health check. Does this date good for you? Would you like to come in? I said, oh, yeah, book me in. And I went in and it was just quickly done. So if you haven't got that service from your health practitioner, give them a call and say, I'd like to come in for a health check this year, and take someone else with you too, because you know, you've got to have your friends around you. If you're well, everybody else needs to be well too. Well, that was Orna McGinn. Would you like to add to our say goodbye to the last few words to our listeners?
I'd just like to say thank you very much for having me again.
Thank you. And thank you, Orna, for coming today. I know it's a great day to be out there, but we're here in studio. I just want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. There is a theme to our conversation this year. It's going to be on our health and well-being. And we just want to let you know that we'll keep talking about immunisation and anything that will encourage everyone to stay healthy, because we'd like you to live longer. And that was Well With Anahila. Have a great evening. Well With Anahila, their label is MP based in Papakura and Tāmaki. Ka kite anō.